real and practical conversations with no bars and some fun. Well, you are the right place. Welcome to We Said It.
It's another episode of We Said It.
Yep.
We are here again.
Welcome.
We don't come again.
We're back.
We don't arrive. We have arrived.
We are arriving. We're here. How are you doing? Hope you've been good.
Hope you're dealing with Nigerian frustration.
Or hope Nigeria has not frustrated you totally yet. Because I know everybody's frustrated once, yeah. You know. Maybe it has not reached that limit for you yet. Congratulations to you. I hope you are able to witness and withstand another week of frustration in Nigeria. God will give you the strength.
Amen.
I mean, that should be a prayer point we should start having. Honestly, in churches now.
Yeah.
Like, God, please give me the strength to withstand Nigeria's frustration.
For strength to be able to deal with all of those things. We are also praying for peace, because honestly, if there is peace, we'd pray less for some of the things that we are, you know, rush on more to pray. Because when you look at our system here and abroad system, they just go to church, listen to maybe word and maybe say few words of prayer and go. Because they are not praying for God, give me money to buy petrol and generator.
Mm-hmm.
God, because there are some of the basic things that we still pray for that they already have. They pray for,
when they pray for money,
yeah,
and they get the money, and we pray for money here as well, and we get the money, the things we use our money here for
totally
are too much. And you know, the things
totally
before
different.
You get money for satisfaction and for the things that you actually want. The other things that will take your money, for example, you buy petrol for your gen, you buy petrol for your car, for everything. You need to, you know, pay a huge amount of money for electricity. All of those things already take
your
money away. But for them, if they get 10,000 naira and you get 10,000 naira, your own 10,000 naira, you spend like 8,000 naira on expenses, things that you just have to, basic things that they already have.
That we don't have,
that they won't have a problem getting.
And you have to provide them for yourself.
So
you spend more providing for yourself the things that government is supposed to provide for you. You see the difference now.
I swear, the difference is clear.
Honestly, so when we pray, all these things are at the back of our minds. No matter how much
mm-hmm.
we try to say nothing more, but you did it. I owe you a bola, thank you. I won't pay this, basically. See,
oh my goodness,
you get that to be, but then we keep praying for the strength to pull through, and most importantly, for this country to be sane.
Talking about debt,
yeah,
I don't know how some people do it, that they don't feel bad when they are owing people money. Like, they don't, they are
so
relaxed, they are so comfortable, and they are owing like 20 people.
Like, how do you feel good and cool and comfortable and not even bothered? The point is, okay, you might not have that money to pay yet, but some people, they will act unbothered.
I mean,
and be like, are you not even bothered at all?
You borrowed money from somebody.
Not that show. That's why me, if I cannot dash
you,
that money,
I will not borrow you. Well, I hope I get
if
to.
If I can dash, I'll say, you need 10k right now. It's 5k I can afford. Take it.
I hope
God
I can take that
you.
Advice.
That is
and
what I do.
It.
For you to see people who would, you know, you'd borrow from them and they would like pay promptly. Out of 10k, bro, they'll not give you 1,000 tomorrow, 2,000 next tomorrow. The money said don't spoil.
Ah,
so for you to see people
serious.
Who would return what they borrow, there are people like that. If you say, I borrow me, they'll say, I'll give you this particular money at the end of the month. They would be true to that and pay, but they are very few.
See, all I'm saying in essence, if you are owing me money, please pay up.
If you owe people money, pay.
If you are owing me money,
if you
please
are the one
pay
that will say, people, especially for business owners as well, you say, give me this now, I'll pay at the end of the month. 3k don't accumulate, 4k, 5k, 10k. Don't worry, I'll give you. And remember that these people, they have businesses, and it is these businesses that they are doing to, you know, get by and feed themselves and take care of themselves. But now you're owing them money. If everyone were to owe them money, how do you think they would survive?
Exactly.
How do you think their businesses would survive? So you that are always collecting everything on credit, learn to always pay for what you get. This is these people. I mean, it's their livelihood. Just like you, we all go to work. Their own livelihood is their business. So if you to know they collect salary too, know they talk.
Some people be like, Nigeria is owing too. Nigeria is in debt.
So
please, that does not mean you should also be comfortable in your debt.
Honestly,
I beg. Just when you owe people money,
that.
Please pay them back. and pay them when you promised to pay. And again, if you don't have the money, it's fine. You know, plans change, things fail, you get disappointments here and there. But if you don't have the money, be respectful enough. Be kind enough as well to let the person know, okay, this is the reason I can't pay yet. And be honest as well enough to ensure that when you have that money, you pay
not
it back.
Not be saying go, they stop to the pick calls. They go call you.
They'll call you, you know, go pick. Or you go pick, they say they sing a foul song. All this insult. You fuck, cuckoo beat me, please. I can beat you on top of my money.
There are this set of people, we be say, you know they come and say, how far, this money, help me find it. Now, me too, I need to say, wait till yourself now.
Make I kill myself.
I'm like, when you came to borrow this thing,
you were very gentle.
You were gentle and, you know, ugly ability there.
But
you
now.
You were humble, but now, to pay back, you don't reach how much with the money self. If you don't reach, pay the money.
Pay the money back.
If you don't reach, pay him.
All right. So my name is Lake Obadi.
And I'm Jane. Again, this is...
We said it. All right. Let's go straight into what we have to talk about today. It's pretty sad what we want to talk about. It's pretty sad. So on the streets of Twitter, this happened. We got the story. Or was it Instagram?
I think generally.
On social media. Social media too. So this lady came out to say that her friend, Lara, she had a medical emergency. She went to the hospital. And due to negligence and
carefree attitude. Negligence.
Careless attitude of the healthcare workers there. She died. Now, the details of the story, we might not be able to get into all of the details. It's available on social media. You can get it anywhere. But we're just going to talk generally about the Nigerian healthcare system. And in all of the way it has failed. It has failed Nigerians. If you don't have personal experiences, I'm sure you know somebody who knows somebody who has a personal experience about the failures of the healthcare system that we have in Nigeria. And this story, there's another one as well about a chef. Her name is Meju as well, who also died because of negligence.
That one was even quite, it was quite popular because she's an Instagram influencer, she runs a food page as well.
So it's very sad that these things happen, and I think it's time that we talk about them.
And for this other person's situation, that's the page of the chef. The thing was, she was taken to a private hospital. Mm-hmm. And it was said she had fibroid, so a surgery was scheduled for her to remove the fibroid. And the funny thing was, she was in perfect health before the surgery. In fact, she went there herself. It wasn't as if maybe they rushed her to the hospital or something. She was fine, and she was scheduled for the surgery. And after the surgery, I think a day after, she started complaining of stomach trouble and aches here and there. And of course, when you have that kind of surgery, such things are naturally expected. Of course, you won't just be back to normal instantly. The husband told the doctors, but they said it's normal, and of course it's quite normal. So he was rested. Then I think 2-3 days after, the situation was worse. She couldn't really breathe again. And mind you, these people, they paid a whole lot of money for this surgery to be torn. Honestly,
the surgery itself is 1.5 million naira. They paid 1 million naira up front
before the surgery. And then when her situation or her condition deteriorated, they were told she would be moved to the ICU. And they had to pay another 1 million naira. I think it was almost 3 million naira that they paid at this particular hospital. Then when they got to the ICU, they were saying she had to be referred to another hospital again. Meanwhile, the husband of that lady said he called a doctor friend abroad, and the doctor friend asked them to tell the doctors handling the case in Nigeria that they should check the lady for hemorrhaging, that it is possible that she's bleeding internally. And this man told the doctors, what did the doctors say? That no, it's nothing to worry about. You know, it would be another thing if that issue was not raised, but it was raised. The doctors and the healthcare providers, workers were told that this woman might be bleeding internally, and no attention was paid to that. I mean, I don't understand how, if a complaint is raised, what does it take to check things or to check their vitals? Even if there's nothing, at least you have done
due diligence.
You've done what you were supposed to do. Now she was moved to another hospital, and before they even got to that hospital, I don't think she she spent up to a few hours in the hospital before she gave up. They still paid another money at the hospital she was referred to.
You are listening to Reset It with Lekong and Jimmy.
The post on Twitter that I saw, a doctor commented that the first thing after surgery to check for is hemorrhaging. Like, it's like the normal thing. After surgery, if there's any complaint, the first thing doctors are supposed to check for is she bleeding inside. So I'm like, why didn't these people do that? Even before being told, they were now told again and they didn't still do it. They didn't check. What does it take?
And according to the statement that was released by her family, they said there was about 2 liters of blood inside her.
Jeez.
In her abdomen. So it's like she was gone already. Now, it's crazy that all of these things are happening. And in this case, it's in a private hospital. If it was in a government hospital, they would have been complaining, hey, the government is not, you know, funding the hospitals. The government is not doing this. The government is not doing that.
They paid almost 3 million naira.
More than 3 million, no, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
And the lady still died because of negligence.
It's pure negligence. And honestly,
although
I think those hospitals, of course, the families, they are battling with them.
Yeah,
they're
going to sue them. And until the courts declare them guilty, I don't know.
And then they said at a point, they said they wanted to do an autopsy for the woman.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to withhold some, you know, documents. They were trying to place them and said they would do the autopsy. But those people maintained that, no, they are doing an independent autopsy at, you know, at another place entirely. That was how they got to discover that it was hemorrhaging that killed this woman.
And
something
this,
that could have been avoided totally. For somebody that was healthy before she went into surgery. And even if she wasn't healthy, they would have run her vitals before any
surgery. She was healthy. They said they did all the tests that needed to be
done. All the tests
were
done. She was fit
tests.
For surgery. So what excuse do they have? I don't care attitude. That's just it. I don't know how this works. I'm not a doctor. And why I want to understand the fact that they have a lot of duties to do. There are a lot of cases to attend to. Each patient is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is now the point? You are going into the hospital and you're not being attended to the way you should be attended to.
I mean, if it was a government hospital, I would have said, okay, maybe they had a lot of cases or a lot of patients to attend to. But this is a private hospital and the person in question has paid over 4 million naira to get quality health care. What are you now telling me?
They were all about the money. That for anything, the person that, before she would be moved to ICU, you have to pay 1 million. No. Like, they did not, at least you will move her to ICU first, then you'll be.
We should also remember that it's a business. Let's leave the business, the money part. What me I'm concerned about is the negligence.
They were negligent, yeah. But the thing is, even the job you are doing, you are being paid for it at that particular moment.
And
that,
even
I'm just
even that you were paid, even that you were paid now,
you
still did not do the job.
Perform.
You still did not do the job
that
well.
Is the point.
That's the problem here. So the healthcare situation in Nigeria is terrible. It is, like I said earlier, if you ask somebody, you're going to find somebody who will tell you their own experience, bad experience about...
A lot of people come out to, you know, say it's not just today. We see these stories every day. People relate a lot of stories. They carry them to the hospital. They will say, and they don't have this, they don't have that. They can't attend to this person right now. And they should do so thing. When it's an emergency case, for crying out loud.
Now, Jane, in this case, who should we blame? Should we blame the hospital for not having the necessary equipment, or the hospital for hiring people who are not doing their jobs well, or the doctors themselves or the healthcare professionals who are not doing their jobs as they should do it, or the government who is not monitoring and, you know, doing an evaluation of all of these people, the doctors, the hospitals themselves, to ensure that if you do nonsense, your certificates or whatever they give them, the certification or whatever they give them can be revoked, or you can be penalized if somebody dies due to negligence in your hospital or whatever.
There are a lot of actors at play here, and one person cannot be blamed. In fact, we can't categorically say we are blaming the doctors, because if you were to call them now to ask them, they would have something to say.
Give you a solid point.
They would say this is a social thing, maybe, and they would have something solid, like valid and genuine to say. So who will you even blame? Because the thing is, if we are to lay the facts down, healthcare in Nigeria right from time is terrible. especially at government hospitals. We hear these stories every day about how people are attended to, how you go there and people would be in terrible and critical conditions and they will still be treated as if you just came to collect malaria drugs. There are differences between those things. Somebody is in a critical condition and then you're treating the person as if we just wait till we are coming.
Let me tell you a story. So here in Abeokuta, there's a federal medical center, FMC Abeokuta. A friend's wife had an accident and I went there to visit. The first thing you would see, the emergency ward or the emergency hall that they have, the way all of the patients are cramped together. And this is in the time of COVID-19, The way all of the patients are cramped together, it's not even a room, so it's like a hall, a big hall. They now divided it and you have like 6 or 8 beds in this small space. That's one thing. The friend that I went to meet was now telling me a story about how they rushed some people to the hospital for these people. I think they had a cult clash or something. They were badly injured, almost at the point of death. And they were telling them, the hospital people there were telling them that there was no bed space for them to admit these people. This is a federal medical center. There was no bed space for them to admit these people. So they should, you know, just take them away, take them somewhere else. But these people had nowhere to go. It was in the middle of the night. So they had to leave them outside the hospital, with their injuries, outside the emergency hall or whatever, emergency ward, at the door. It was now like the next morning when they saw that these people were still there and they were almost at the point of death. They were almost at the point of death when they admitted them and started treating them. Now they had to create that bed space that they said they did not have. They created it for them. So I don't understand how a federal medical center, yes, I mean, being a hospital, a government hospital, you might be overwhelmed. We know how Nigeria is and how everything is. You might be overwhelmed, but how will you not be equipped enough to handle emergency cases? Especially accidents. We know the way accidents happen in Nigeria every day.
They require like immediate attention. Because how will that you not one be minute, 2 minute gap could be what would save them. That person's life.
Why are you now a hospital for crying out? I don't understand. Why are you now a hospital?
And that is why, during COVID, we all saw what happened. That was last year when everybody, all these rich people, the politicians, the thieves and all of them, when they were going abroad for some of them, abroad COVID had passed Nigeria. We all passed Nigeria. So most of them were stuck here in Nigeria. And we saw what happened. They saw it themselves. And I was thinking that should try to make them realize it should be like a turning point for them. And like, of course, what have you been doing? But
the first chance our president got, he went outside the country to get medical attention. You see? So
you are listening to Reset It with Lekan and Jimmy.
So because the Nigeria healthcare system is not good enough for them.
It's not great.
It's obvious. So we are not, trying to lay blames here. No, this is not even a blame game. The point we are just trying to make is healthcare professionals, healthcare providers, both at private, state, federal, all levels, they can do better. And they can do better. They should do better. In fact, they must do better. Honestly, because especially when it gets to paying attention to critical cases, it costs nothing to do a double check. You know, sometimes I think about that. What does it cost to do a double check? Like, is it stressful? A surgery had been done.
There might be costs as well to these things.
When the person's concerned is even raising it and saying, please double check this thing. And you're saying, it's nothing to worry about. And then the person died. And what do you have to say?
One case. So it's, if you hear other one case out of many cases.
And honestly, the Yoruba people will say, and talk on Lomo, that if it has happened to you, you would know.
Exactly.
When people relay these things, you see the pain, you see the anger, you see the frustration in them, because they know in their hearts that this thing could have been avoided. Yeah. That is what hurts most. What hurts them most is that we took these people to the hospital, we've done what needs to be done, and due to negligence.
For example, look at the case of that Lara lady. When the hospital she was initially taken to, when they saw that she had to be referred, and they knew that her case was very critical. She was in a critical condition and she had to be referred to another hospital that was about not less than 30 minutes away from the current location. And you know that this person's case is critical. She can't breathe on her
own.
She was
already gasping for breath.
So you now removed the oxygen that you gave her at your hospital and told the friend to make sure she raised her leg and carry her on her laps.
And to open the car window. I
don't understand what that was going to do to get her to the hospital. Maybe that oxygen could have preserved her life.
Who knows?
Maybe that was, but they didn't think. I mean, I feel.
And by the time she got to the hospital, she was referred to. The friend said she was pronounced
BID,
brought in dead. So that means she must have given up on the way.
I also think because of the way, you know, the nature of those people's jobs, that's the doctors and the nurses, the healthcare professionals generally, the nature of their jobs, they see a lot of deaths. So
it doesn't really
I don't think it really shakes them
even if it doesn't shake them, when it doesn't stop them from doing the needful.
It doesn't
when it should be done.
It doesn't,
but they know not doing the needful could lead to maybe possible death for
Jenna, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that you know, maybe because it has happened, they don't care. It's not that they don't care, but because they've seen a lot of deaths. So when another person dies, it's just like another number. Exactly. Just like another number on top of the other ones that they've had. Maybe that is why they don't go the extra mile always go the extra mile. Because I know some doctors
I was telling you the other time that if you look at it, we can't really say we are blaming the doctors or the healthcare professionals, because even the government is not treating them well, especially for state and federal hospitals, not even private hospitals this time. And now most doctors, especially the young ones, are leaving Nigeria. So even if you go to hospitals now, it's apart from maybe private, that maybe they are the owners of their hospital, the old consultants and, you know, the older doctors, I think for you to get, you know, young doctors, they are getting, you know, smaller by the day, because they are leaving the country, they are writing their medical exams, they are getting out of the country where they are treated better. So while we are talking about how doctors could, you know, pay more attention to their patients and, you know, try as much as possible, we can't teach them their jobs, they know their jobs is to save lives. So while they are putting more effort into saving lives, the government too should actually help those people. They should take care of them. They deserve to be taken care of. During the COVID, whatever, the frontline staff, they owed them before they paid their money. I mean, these people, when COVID was like very hot, let me use that word, very hot then, these people were going to work and they were not being paid. They were not being paid allowances, you know, health hazard and co. So how do you expect them to feel? Do you think they would do the job with joy?
Now, that's for those who are working under the government. That I understand that. Yeah, I'm not disputing
that's
that.
Another that's another angle to
now, for those who are working in private, you know, hospitals, where they make money and they...
Private, now, let me show you.
Most likely pay you.
Private hospitals, in fact, they treat their staff worse than the state.
Almost every private
organization
does.
Almost, honestly, private hospitals, somebody was saying that a nurse was being paid 15,000 naira per month. And it is not even, and they are like this example now, there is millions, they are rolling in millions every now and then. For you to then to say pay 1 million, pay 2 million, pay 1 million. And now you can't even pay your staff. They say the nurses are those, if you go to private hospitals, those nurses, it's like they are angry at the rich people coming in. Because they're like, you are paying all this money, we are not getting anything out of it. So the Nigeria is a, I don't know what to use. It's such a disturbed.
See, everything is wrong. Because if you now want to talk about the attitude of the nurses.
Because that's what I was saying. There are a lot of actors at play here. So you can't even say you're blaming nurses. You can't say you're blaming doctors. The government will still blame.
We're also talking about the attitude of the nurses and the doctors. Mm-hmm. And you say they have bad attitudes, especially towards patients. Mm-hmm. If you now link it to the way they are also treated by their employers, you realize that, you know, it's all linked somehow, it's all connected.
Exactly. No,
because if you're not happy, you're not
motivated,
to do your job well, it might be difficult for people who you are interacting with, people who are coming to get the best of you.
That is just the truth.
It's going to be difficult. So, like you said, it's an all-round issue.
Even if it's not in a hospital, even normal jobs, if you're not being treated well, you won't do the job with all joy. You can still be going because, okay, at all, when small money, they enter pocket, end of the month. But deep down in you, you know you're not happy doing all of that. So, I don't even know.
At the end of the day, what I'm going to say is, people who are doctors, who are healthcare professionals, let them try to live up to the oath that they took.
Irrespective of...
Because there's this... What do they call this? Their oath, Seth?
Hippocratic.
Hippo something.
Hippocratic.
So that oath that you take, just try as much as possible to live up to it.
And
do
and
what
then
it says.
Still talking about health generally as well. You know, while we'll, you know, go to hospitals and meet doctors, we should also try as much as possible to take care of ourselves. Because yeah. the way people, you know, you just hear this person has died, that it was fine. I saw him last night, this morning. You know, while things can happen, we don't know what happened. Anything could have happened. But then, in our own way, let's try to live a healthy life in the ways we can. You don't have to, like, be sick and be on the bed, unable to walk before you say you want to go to the hospital.
Yes.
You should try and check up your body every now and then. This country, the frustration is much. Everybody knows.
It's not
the stress
to kill
is much.
You, I swear.
The stress is much. So we all know. Don't take your health, as in don't take it for granted. Don't
eat
take
good
chances.
Food.
If you feel
eat
small
a lot
ache,
of fruits.
Go and check your health.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check up your body. Not until you're down with a big illness or something.
Yes.
And eat well. Yes. Let your diet be good. People say don't eat. I said we cannot do without eating
rice.
All this rice. They don't eat pepper. Which what do we want to?
Just make sure that you complement
it
with something else.
It
make sure it's balanced.
And then these days there are a lot of supplements,
mm-hmm.
and they help a lot because it helps.
Supplements are
this.
Expensive. For
they're expensive,
people.
But then if you're not taking fruits and all, it is
it's better
to
if you take fruits. You can
so
just
you can
get
just
fruits. Make sure you get
cheaper. So
very
you can
cheap.
Get
200 naira per day. You can get a good fruit.
And to help your body, will
sure.
thank you for it. Honestly.
If you watch, you mentioned it earlier, if you watch all of this medical series,
yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, The Resident,
in fact,
New
I
Amsterdam,
recommend it.
See, you will know that there are 1,001 ways to die.
I told you.
Medically, there are like 1,001 ways to die, and it just tells you that you have to, this human body
you have to be intentional
is so
about it.
Fragile. Anything, any fucking thing can happen.
At any fucking time.
At any fucking time, and you just see that you just have problems.
More.
Small thing like
and
this,
the thing
cancer.
Is more problems.
And there was a time I saw one episode of The Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, though. It's something like this. I can't remember what actually happened. Like, okay, they had an accident and the something impaled two people together. So it was like going through their organs. A man and a woman, they were impaled together by one rod.
I think they had to.
It was in the early seasons Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I saw it.
So they had to remove the
and
rod.
One person.
I mean, so I was like, if this something like this happened in Nigeria, will
how
our hospitals be able to handle this case?
We can't even compare healthcare system abroad.
You just die.
You can't compare it. So
you
that's
just
why
die.
I
just,
make reference
just
to our broad healthcare system. They have a solid healthcare system, and that is why our leaders will go and, you know, get themselves treated over there, because they know the system is good. But here, our system is terrible, and honestly, it can get better.
Right.
It should get better. It must get better.
We should go now. Thank you so much for listening to the show today.
So
before we go, I want to give you a movie recommendation. So there's this new HBO series. It's titled The Nevers. It's very, very nice. Very,
the
very
Nevers.
Nice. The Nevers, yes. N-E-V-E-R-S. Go on, I don't know, Netflix, wherever you watch movies. It's very nice. It's in the fourth episode, I think. The fifth episode should be coming out this next. It's a new series. So you will enjoy it, I promise you. If you do enjoy it, I'll refund your data. Just let me know.
Scam.
Let me know, I'll refund your data. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode.
Thank
we
you
appreciate
for being a
you.
Part of We Said It for this particular episode.
We'll see you again when we see you.
Yeah. That sounds
in a week's
sounds
time.
Big.
In a week's time. Hopefully.
Yeah, all right guys. Do well to take care of yourself and honestly don't take care of granted.
Drink water.
And mind your business.
Bye-bye.
That won't be healthy.
Very, very important.
Bye-bye.
Just said our names. My name is Nico.
Oh, and I'm Jane.
And this is
We Said It.
Bye.
Bye-bye.